I really want to buy a new couch.
How old is that one?
These are doing just fine. Well, they're both hand-me-downs.
Oh, okay.
So neither of them are new, but one of them was Caitlin and Andrew's, the green one. And then the other one is one that I got at Pack Rats. And we're recording now.
Oh, okay.
And we got it at Pack Rats, and the legs have fallen off. So I just have, like, those risers that dorm rooms get, like, underneath.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when we try to move the couch, it just, like, slides off. Or if the kids get rambunctious.
And, like, jump on the couch.
And jump on the couch.
I don't think I can talk about anything tonight with Obi dead in the middle of the table.
He's so cute, though.
He's curled up like a dead bug. He's got his little paws curled in.
He wants belly rubs.
I'm not rubbing any cat's belly because you know what happens when I do that? They bite me.
Daggers. Well, Oberon bit Mom and she had to get put on antibiotics.
Oh, I remember that.
Now, I think she just wanted to get put on antibiotics.
Just for fun?
Just to say, oh, he bit me and I just got it. Just to whatever.
You know, Mom is one of the only people that listens to this.
That's okay.
Right? Okay.
That's cool. We're good.
Are we good?
Yeah, okay. I think so. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode, I'll just keep going.
Go ahead, I don't care.
We're going to be discussing Dawn of the Dead, the 1978 one, the original, actually. actually.
You're not wearing your glasses, so it doesn't work if you push them up. Yeah, okay, so I picked Dawn of the Dead. I was kind of worried about doing this one because I love it so much.
It's so good, yeah.
Chelsea's doing all these ones that she loves, but I'm kind of intimidated because there's, I don't know, it's directed by George Romero, who I love, and I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's a good one, and honestly,
I think I needed to warm up more or something.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the original ever.
Really?
Before I watched it. And I love zombie movies. I love them so much. And I don't know why I'd never seen the original. Maybe because I didn't want to be disappointed, which I wasn't, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I mean, the special effects are 1978 special effects.
But
it's still good.
And
it was still kind of like cutting edge, too. Like,
well, and I noticed too, when some of the zombies would bite into someone's arm, like it just looked so cheesy and stuff, but that's what they had back then.
Yeah,
and it like was
taking chunks.
Yeah,
well, Tom Savini, who was in it, he was also the special effects guy.
What guy was that?
The leader of the motorcycle gang.
He,
the love machine,
the love or sex machine,
the sex machine. Yeah,
from Dusk Until Dawn. And he actually worked with the guy that used to do the haunted house in Adrian.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he came in one time and helped him with special effects.
Why did I not know that?
It was my...
Why did I think that was Danny Trejo for some reason?
Really?
That's what
but
I
no.
had in my head.
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, whatever.
Yeah. So he came in and he did some of the special effects and helped. And I can't remember. Mom, when she listens to this, is going to kill me because he...
Stuart McDonald?
Yes. Yeah, because he ran cross country for Dad and, like, is a big-time magician now.
I have no idea, like, whatever happened to him.
Yeah. He's done shows in Vegas and,
we went
like,
to his wedding.
In Europe and stuff. Yeah. Yes.
You were a little teeny, though. You might not have even been there.
Maybe not. But anyway. Cool. Yeah, he's a really good special effects artist to this day, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah. He's still, like, super active in it.
Yeah.
He also worked on the first Friday the 13th and the fourth Friday the 13th. So.
That's cool.
A tie-in.
A little fun fact.
Yeah. So, horrible with names. So I'm just going to – David MG. MG is Steve. Ken Voorhees is Peter, who
– I love.
You love.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Renninger is Roger. And then Galen Ross is Fran. And then, like I said, Tom Savini's the leader of the motorcycle gang.
Yeah. He's only in it for, like, the 10 minutes that the motorcycle gang –
his outfit that he wears in this is the same outfit that he wears as Sex Machine.
I still remember watching that with mom and dad. I know. And I remember having to, like, put earmuffs on. Or, like, earmuffs, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And, like, dad would cover my eyes. Because From Dusk Until Dawn, I mean, there's...
It's pretty racy.
There's a lot in there.
There's some racy bits.
Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Okay, so it was shot at the Monroeville Mall. It's east of Pittsburgh. It's actually on my list of places that I want to visit. The mall has been renovated, obviously, a zillion times since then. But they did... there is a statue for George Romero, like a little memorial statue there.
That is really cool.
Mm-hmm. They used to have a little, like, film trivia museum and had props and stuff in it. But they actually moved that to Evansville, where the original Night of the Living Dead was shot. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Those, it's all kind of in the same area, and that's on my list. When I'm on my way to Centralia, Pennsylvania, we're going to stop there.
What's there?
That is the town that inspired Silent Hill.
Okay. I was going to say Silent Hill right off the bat.
Which is abandoned. But... It doesn't look anything like Silent Hill. No. But that's kind of what inspired it. And I wanted to go there because we went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Because that's like where all the Mothman stuff is. So I want to hit all these scary places.
That'll be fun.
I wore my sweatshirt for the last recording.
I remember.
Okay, I did want to say, too, that there was cameos in the 2004 Dawn of the Dead. Ken Voorhees is the televangelist.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And he does...
He does the, when there's no more room in hell,
yes,
the dead will walk the earth. Yeah.
And then... Scott Reininger, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, has a bit as a general, and then Tom Savini is a cop that does an interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
With all the bodies being burned.
Yeah, where they're burning all the bodies.
I do like how they paid homage, or whatever that term is, in the newer one. Like, they did a lot of stuff in the new ones to kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't an identical... remake, but
yeah,
it was good. I liked it.
I wondered if you'd like it too, because I know that you really like the new one. Basically, to get to the actual storyline,
right
here, it's basically four people. They flee, zombies everywhere. They get trapped in the mall. Well, they don't get trapped in the mall. They have a helicopter land on top. A lot of stuff leads up to that, but that's where the majority of the movie's shot.
Yeah.
Fran and Steve flies a helicopter. I'm assuming for the news station.
Yeah.
Okay. Fran works at the news station. They decide to bolt. On their way, they pick up Peter and Roger, who are... National Guard?
They're National Guard or SWAT, like part of the SWAT team.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you would think about that.
Wait, I have to get Cooper's bed. Okay.
Oh, because is he gonna like click around on the floor?
And I forgot to grab it before we started. So, okay.
Okay. So it starts out in the TV studio, and there's people stuck there. It's all chaotic. And I guess at one point I read that it was 3 weeks in to the apocalypse.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because some of the news stations were going off the air. Fun fact. The news station is WGON. Do you know where that was, the radio station?
No.
Munising, Michigan.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's so
fun. It was an AM radio station that like went under, quit broadcasting or whatever. So they used that because they had to use one that like wasn't, you know, functional.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, WGON was the news station, but it was also right here in the UP.
That's so cool.
I thought so.
Yeah.
So one of the things too, So it's under martial law. The president's order was not to stay at home. That was on the TV to go to wherever.
Which that's kind of weird because in any apocalyptic movie now, like
you're supposed to stay home. Yeah, there's like curfews and it's this big deal.
Right.
But they didn't in this. They were supposed to go to the centers. Well, I'm assuming all the centers were getting like overrun.
Yeah.
Because that's where Roger and Peter come in because there's like low income housing.
Yes.
And those people aren't going to leave. And
What do you mean? Or like going back, what do you mean? Like what I thought about it? Like,
I just wondered what you thought about it because I know that you like the new one and I wasn't sure if it would like live up to your expectations.
Oh, the original?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it did. I really enjoyed it. And obviously like the makeup and stuff is going to be 1970s makeup. So it's not as like gory and stuff.
Well, yeah, but it's not as high tech and there was no like no CG.
No.
Like
I didn't mind it. I liked it.
So, yeah, when Roger and Peter are in the, like, low income, and there's one guy that's just shooting everybody.
And he's a jerk.
Yeah.
I made a comment. I was like, oh, that guy's really racist, but it is the 70s, so I guess that you're going to have that.
He is, like, racial slurs he's the like, whole time, just shooting everybody. Ugh. Well, doesn't Peter shoots him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so another Absolutely. Guy on his like SWAT team. Because
he gets bit or something. Like something happens to the mustache guy.
The mustache guy.
He has a mustache and he's just like shooting all of these people in the building.
Well, they actually, so when the guy gets shot in the head and his head explodes.
Yeah.
First of all, like nothing like that had ever been done.
Right.
It was a head filled with like chunks of junk, but they actually shot it with a shotgun. Like they cleared the set and actually blew the fake head off.
That's cool.
It's so gross.
And disgusting.
And disgusting. Oh, and then I wrote large distraction in my house. Because movie night, Pat and Emma come over,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 10 minutes in, so it's like, let's chat. Oh, let's go get some more food. It was chili night, so we were up and down to get chili all the time, mm-hmm. so there's like a big blip.
You were eating chili while watching this movie?
I was.
Okay. All right. That's your choice.
I just realized I didn't turn my phone down either. Well, you looked at my phone and I thought it went off or did something.
No.
Okay, so then when they're in that building, too, there's a bunch of dead bodies in there.
There are a bunch of dead bodies, and then they go into the basement or something, and all of the zombies are just, like, feasting on... Because I think that they were being dumped down the garbage chute,
mm-hmm.
and all of the zombies are feasting on other, like, dead bodies, which is a great distraction. Just
feed them more bodies.
Feed them more bodies.
Did you notice that... In that scene where all the zombies are sitting around eating, it's like a pulse, like a heartbeat was like the music.
Blech.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was pretty weird. Okay, so yeah, I keep wanting to say Ken. Pete and Roger, they get out. They're trapped in the basement. What did you think about the preacher with the one leg? Did that freak you out at all?
I'm trying to remember it, and I know Mike gets so annoyed because I'm like, oh, I don't remember that part.
Well, they're down in the basement, and like all of the zombies are kind of like fenced in, just eating, and yes. they don't really have a way out. And there's a preacher down there that's like giving them their last rites or whatever. But when he turns, one of his legs is just like a crutch leg.
Oh.
I didn't know if it like startled you at all. Because in the new Dawn of the Dead, they use, there's like, actors that have had limbs amputated.
Yes.
Like in real life. Like it's
we should actually do the 2004 one at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it would be cool to sit or like have a comparison one where
compare
like,
them.
We compare the two.
Okay, so they get out of there. They meet up with
Steve and Fran.
Mm-hmm. They're getting in the helicopter. I thought it was funny. So they all get in and they like light up their cigarettes. And somebody asks like, hey, do you have one? Or no, somebody asks if they have a cigarette. And they're like, oh, no, we don't. And then as soon as they take off, they all like light up. Like.
And Pete is like chuckling because the guy straight up asks Fran like, oh, do you have a cigarette? And she's like, no, I don't. And then they take off and Fran immediately lights a cigarette. And Pete just like looks over and is chuckling like.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think Pete smokes in the movie. I don't think he smokes. Roger, I know, does. But I don't know
now if I'm, like, thinking he about does.
I don't know.
He seems like he'd be a cigar smoker.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, not cigarettes. Mm-hmm. The other three do for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so they fly over. What is.
What?
I've been trying to figure out what that noise is for a while in my headphones. It's definitely over on snoring or breathing.
Is he? Well, we can't move him because.
It's very faint, but it's like.
He does snore.
Like, is he drumming their fingers? He's like, no, there's just a big fat cat sleeping between them.
That's okay.
The mascot.
Meh, yeah. Whatever. He's happy.
So when they're flying around, they have to land and get and fuel up and stuff. And then redneck shooting party.
Yeah.
Is this in every movie where there's an apocalypse?
Yes. Well, if they can't go hunting, it's like.
Why not hunt people?
Well, they're hunting zombies, not actual yes. people.
Yeah.
And those were all volunteers. And they all brought their own guns.
What?
And it was the actual police and, like, medics and, like,
National They were Guard like, sure, people. We'll be they're in like, this.
Sure, we'll volunteer. Yeah.
That's awesome. All of your facts for this has been, like, great.
There's a ton of them.
I love it. But yeah, they're just like out in there.
And there's weird music playing, and I wish I would have looked it up before, but it just said, what's the song? I'm a man?
I don't know.
I don't know what it was either, yeah. And I wish I would have looked it up. Are you moving over?
Some of the music, too, is in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I recognize that immediately, and I can't remember exactly where, but they play the same score probably 3 or 4 times.
They
it?
Do, so they used a lot of stock music, which okay. I've found more, I've found out more about. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just go with it.
Words. I've been finding out more information about, that doesn't make sense either.
I don't know.
Anyway, there's just like stock movie music. Some of the music was Dario Argento. He did a little bit of the soundtrack, and he was also the script consultant.
Okay.
Because when they were trying to, like, film and fund this, they kind of hit, like, a dead end. And why can't I think of his name? George Romero worked it out with him that Dario Argento could release it in Italy. And, like, in Europe.
Yeah.
And kind of edit it however he wanted to, so he kind of collaborated on it.
Okay.
So that's just, I don't know, random information.
God, so many things, though, but it's
there
great.
There is so many things. Did you also notice that it's 2.5 hours long?
It's 2.5 hours long, and I do want to go back and comment on the newsroom. I feel like 20 minutes, that's a long opener.
Was just, it 20 minutes?
I don't know if it was. It felt like 20 minutes. Because, and they're pretty much just rehashing the same information of Fran, like, and the people in the newsroom, like, going around frantically, like.
Yeah,
it was just
true.
Kind of drawn out, in my opinion.
And I think once they get to the mall, then.
Then it starts to pick it, up it a little bit, up, yeah.
But yeah, in the beginning, it does start out kind of slow. But then, so they have to stop for gas in the helicopter before mm-hmm. they, and they don't know where they're going. They don't know they're going to a mall. They're just trying to find, like, somewhere.
Yeah.
They stop at that, like, airplane gas station.
And zombie children.
Those are Tom Savini's niece and nephew.
Oh, my God. Zombie and kids in everything I've ever seen in my entire life are the worst.
And that's one of the only That was the first time there was fast zombies.
Oh.
Yeah. Ken Forhey didn't know that it was going to be kids.
Oh, no.
And he didn't know they were going to be fast.
That poor guy. Oh, that poor guy.
So his reaction of like, holy shit, that's like.
Oh, and they're the worst, too.
And they're, yeah, hanging on him and biting him. Maybe he did know that they. No, I don't think he did. I don't think he knew they were kids.
Because we don't see fast zombies until.
No, there was. Later on in this series, like, return, not like fast, but there are, like, quicker zombies.
Yeah. Well, and they do say, like, in The Walking Dead and stuff, if they're in herds, they move faster than if they're just, like, putzing along themselves.
You know what George Romero's instructions were? Because none of the zombies actors were trained. He didn't want to train them in a specific way, so he just said, be dead. Just act dead. So that's why you get, like, so much diversity of, like, some people walking with their arms straight out, some people, like, dragging a leg, because...
Whoa.
Like, if somebody told us, like, okay, be dead, and we were in different rooms, we'd have totally different...
It would be like that scene in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, like a drunk that's just lost a bet.
Helicopter decapitation.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, mm-hmm.
I'm like, yep, it was great. Yeah, there are a couple good kills in this, for sure.
And this is also one of the first times that... I'm horrible
it's okay.
at names today.
Yeah.
Fran's boyfriend. Steve.
Steve.
I should just remember Steve from the next one.
Should you?
No, never mind. Steve has a gun, which he should absolutely 100% not have.
I put in my notes, Steve shooting wildly, WTF. Because yeah. He doesn't know how to shoot.
And he's laying on the ground and he's aiming at a zombie that's like come through the door and was like trying to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, I think it was Peter, was like right behind him.
Peter just like punches zombies.
Because he's massive. He's 6'5".
Okay.
So of course he's just like throwing zombies out of the way.
I was noticing that like when they get to the mall and I know
he just pushes them over.
He just pushes them over or like punches them in the mouth. He's like a superhero.
He is kind of just flying through the mall. Just flying through the mall,
punching them.
Okay, so then, I mean, basically the two points at the gas station are the creepy zombie kids.
Yeah.
And then the zombie getting decapitated by the helicopter.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
And like I said, this gore that has never been seen.
Yes.
They wanted to rate it like adult. But they like an X-rated movie. But since it was tied in with like porn, they opted for no rating, but like 17 and older.
Not rated movie.
Yeah. Ooh. It was like crazy. Okay. So then they get to the mall. Which, what would you loot?
Oh my gosh. Well, at the end of the day, would it matter? Like, you would just have all this cool stuff but not be able to do anything with it. Like, yeah, you would have all this money, but, like, money isn't...
Don't they play cards with the bank money?
They do. They play cards with the bank money, and I would probably loot... Like, I would be the candy store.
They do that.
Out of
everything?
Candy store.
I kind of thought that, too. Well, they go into the, like, grocery area, and there's, like, fancy cheese. Like, one night they have caviar and Jack Daniels for dinner. Why not?
Why not? It's the end of times. I mean...
Well, okay, so they land at the mall, and then the mall is filled with zombies, and they keep coming in.
Yeah.
So first, they kind of make, like, a little hidey hole.
Hidey hole. Suki.
Suki. No, they have a hiding area It's like in the office storage area. Well, not even storage area. It's like offices kind of above yeah. the mall. So they kind of set up camp there. And then they're talking about leaving, talking about what they're going to do. And then they decide to stay there.
So why not? They I mean, clear everything out is there.
All the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
And they come up with a super smart idea with moving trucks mm-hmm. in front of the entrances. So it blocks off most of the entrances, and that gives them a little bit of leeway to take out the zombies that are in the mall.
Yeah.
And this is where Roger.
Well, there is one other thing.
Okay.
So before we get that far.
Yeah, yeah.
They find out that they can, like, climb around in the ventilation system.
Which is super smart.
Which is super smart because some of the stores are locked. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, a way to get into the locked stores. Well, I mean, before they find the control room and all the keys, yeah. they, like, find all this out. And then they find a way to distract the zombies because this is, like, a multi-level mall. So they'll like, run into a store, lock the door quick, and then one person will go downstairs, bang on the door, all yeah. the zombies will come to them, and then they can escape. And at one point, they get, like, a cart.
Yes. And they, like, pile it full of stuff. Yeah. And
I can't remember. They put all the dead zombies in the cooler, don't they?
In the
they?
Big cooler, because there are restaurants and stuff
yeah.
in the mall. And for those of you that haven't seen this, I would say that the mall layout is a smaller version of, like, the Mall of America.
Yeah, it's got everything.
It has everything, but definitely, I think, smaller. I think
well, yeah.
smaller layout.
I actually probably wrote down, like, the square footage of the mall. Or I didn't write down how many stores there were.
But there are a ton of stores, anything you could possibly want, and it's, like, I think three levels.
Yes.
Two levels, yeah.
Three, yeah, two or whatever. Three.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's two levels, and then the next level up is where they were,
okay.
like where they're hiding.
Okay.
Greg said that the stairway that they find, that they block it off eventually. They, like, build a fake wall, and they have, like, a little hiding area.
Which, what did they build the fake wall out of? Cardboard?
Well, it just had to hide them, though. It didn't have to be, like, an actual brick wall.
Well, I'm not saying it had to have been a brick wall, but, I mean.
Okay, so at some point, too, it, like, before they move the trucks, Fran is pregnant.
And she's smoking, but, again, 70s.
Yeah, that was so the thing. She's smoking. And I thought it was really weird that, which one says it? I want to say it was Peter was like, I know how to take care of it.
Yeah, where I'm did like, you learn how to what? Do this?
Like, and she's like no, I want to stay pregnant, thanks. But I'm like,
yeah.
He's just like, I know how to do it.
It was just like so casually
so
thrown out there.
Weird.
All four of them are hanging out in their little hidey hole or whatever. And she's feeling very ill and she's like, oh, well, I'm pregnant. And Peter is just like, oh, well, I know how to take care of it. Like, if you want an abortion. And she's like, no. Like,
and now how thanks. Do you know how to do this?
Do they train them in SWAT training? Like, I don't know. But anyway.
Okay. So, yeah, then they get the idea that they're going to block off the doors to the
yes.
mall. Because they, even though they get the doors locked.
They get them locked. Yeah.
But
they get them locked later. After they block off the entrances.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So did you think that guy whose name I can't remember. I'm
having there are only
rough...
four know, main there's... characters
oh,
in
wait
this.
Till we do the next one because I had to go back and like write. Did you do it? Oh, thank God.
I did too. Okay, but.
Roger.
Roger is the asshole Pete sidekick.
Why is he so crazy and wild when they're moving the trucks?
So they're moving the trucks to block off the entrances. And I think it's just one of those things where your adrenaline gets the
best
of you.
He's super amped up.
And he's super amped up. And
so they take the helicopter away from the mall to where there's like a truck lot of
yeah.
like a shipping lot.
Yeah.
And they take two trucks Park one. Then he jumps in with, like, Roger and Pete jump in together, yeah. Go back, pick up another truck. And that's
Steve,
how they're doing
Steve
this.
Steve is on the helicopter, like, monitoring the situation from above. And
yes.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think it's adrenaline? I feel like it's drugs.
Like, because, do you think he's, like, secretly, like, doing lines of coke? Or is he just, like...
maybe, because he drops his bag and he, like, really flips out over his bag getting
he
dropped.
He does.
And that's what gets him bit.
Yeah.
Going back for this bag.
Like, and why did he need,
like,
that bag?
Oh, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go. And everyone's like, oh, settle down.
I don't know. But now that you say that, it makes perfect sense that it probably was drugs.
It was his bag of drugs. I don't know where he would have found them in the mall. Maybe he picked drugs off the zombies.
The lost and found.
Yeah, like, there's just a big pile of cocaine.
Pile of cocaine.
The lost and found. No, now that they probably, like, took stuff off the zombies.
Yeah. I mean, it was 1978, man. Shit was wild.
I don't know. But, okay. So they block off the doors. And then it's kind of like...
And Roger gets bit.
Roger gets bit.
He gets bit in the leg a couple times trying to get his bag. And then they go in the truck. And Pete is, like, really pissed. Because Roger and him are really good friends.
Yeah.
And so then they go back in the mall and they block off, or they take care of all the zombies in the mall. They lock all the doors because it's, like, bulletproof glass or something. It's, like, shatter-resistant glass.
Which would be mall doors anyway. They'd be, like, it'd be, like, thick glass.
And I thought it was real gross when Roger was getting in the car and a zombie goes and, like, digs into his leg.
Yes. It pops like a blister.
It does. It was very realistic, and it was very traumatizing.
So gross.
So, yeah, the three guys go around in a car that's in the...
You know why some of the stuff is so gross? To bust out, like, more random...
I love... Yeah, fun facts. Got it.
Tom Savini was supposed to do special effects for Night of the Living Dead, but he was in Vietnam, and he was a combat photographer.
Oh.
And when he came back, George Romero was like, because he was into, like, special effects makeup.
Yeah.
You know, from a young age. So when he came back, George Romero was like, hey, do you want to work on this movie? So he had, like, even more, like...
That...
He has actual, like, gross, horrible things to base all this his special effects on. Yeah.
That makes so much more sense. Because it looks... Like, real.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, as real as
it could have been. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they get them all closed up and is that when they drive around? Yeah.
They drive around.
So they finish off all the rest of the zombies that are in the mall. And then they take a car that was, like, on display there, mm-hmm. probably like a prize for something.
Yeah.
And they drive it around.
They're just having a good old time, and it makes me so happy for them. Except for Roger. I mean, Roger's kind of going downhill. But
he does.
He has a good time.
He kind of has, like, ups and downs, too, because when they have him all bandaged up and he's, like, laying in his bed.
Yeah.
And he's like, we whipped him. We got him good. I'm like, oh. Aww.
But
sad.
Yeah. The looting scene is the best.
Well,
it cracks me up because it reminded me, the same music in that scene was used in the remake.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive. Or at least a variation of that.
Because I said it was like party music.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just like having fun. They rob the bank. They do like all
which
the stuff
I love
that
it.
They do.
I love it when they go and they rob the bank and Pete is like behind the teller line and... Steve is on the other side, and they look up at the camera and, like, shake hands, like, with the bills.
Yeah, it reminded me, at some point we're going to have to do 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of in 28 Days Later when they heap their shopping carts up in the abandoned store, and then they leave, like, the credit card.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for the food.
And then I liked it when Steve was looking at jackets and stuff, and he like goes and he looks at the price tag of one jacket and he just like rolls his eyes and like puts it back. And I'm like, oh my God.
You can have all the jackets.
You can have all the jackets.
Yeah, I love it when they get dressed up because Fran does too. Mm-hmm. Like they all take turns. It's very much like the new one. They,
yeah,
you know, wearing their high heels, putting on fur coats, like doing all the things that you would do once you felt like safe.
I mean, yeah, like what else would
going
you
to
be
the candy
doing?
Store?
Oh, just going to town on some gummy bears. Absolutely.
And that's when the quote comes up, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Yeah, because Peter's grandpa was a pastor, or not a pastor.
I thought he was like a voodoo priest.
Yes.
I thought that's like a descendant of, like, that's where they got that idea from.
Yes. So him and Steve are kind of like leaning over the rails, like looking out on the mall and whatever. And that's when Pete says that famous line. I would consider it famous.
I consider it famous.
The no more room in hell. And so, yeah, I think his descendant was,
I don't know.
It makes sense. I mean, yeah.
So then at that point, they have like a suite apartment.
Oh,
it's been,
yeah,
roughly 6 months.
Yeah, they have guns and all sorts of stuff. It's decorated very nicely. Like,
yeah, they have this super cute modern apartment that they like built in the mall, or like in their original like hiding area. And I don't know, it's just so crazy. They have one TV.
Yep.
And there's one thing broadcasting on it, and it's essentially two people arguing. And I said, it's like all the news has been for like the past 2 years.
Oh, gosh.
They predicted the future.
It's like, it's some doctor guy and like a politician, and that's all we need to say about that, right?
Yep. And it's them fighting, and that's the only thing that's on TV night and day.
Ugh.
Is them arguing.
How dreadful.
And I did want to point out, like, at this point, Roger's makeup is looking good. Like, dying Roger.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of time. I mean, not good. He looks horrible.
He looks horrible, but it does bring up the question, how long was he in the stages of becoming a zombie?
Well, he was bit.
He was bit in the leg.
Yeah. So, I don't know, because on Walking Dead,
he would be gone in like a week.
Yeah. Because right? They get a super bad fever, super bad infection, and die from it.
First, it's the fever.
Anyway.
But yeah, so he had, I feel like it was maybe a month. And I know that that's like a long, maybe a couple weeks. I don't know.
Well, no, because they already have, like, this great apartment. The mall's been closed up. They've already done. So, yeah, he's hanging in there.
He's hanging in there for quite some time, longer than what I would think somebody would live with a zombie
Maybe it's
bite.
All the cocaine.
Maybe it's all the cocaine.
Maybe that's just pepping him right through.
Oh, maybe.
Okay, so there was. So Fran and Steve have a romantic dinner.
Yeah, which Peter like puts together. Like it's like a steak dinner or something, and it's very nice. And Fran's like, why don't you join us? And Pete's like, this night's for you guys. And it's just like a nice, wholesome, because I don't think that they were in a serious.
No, I think they were just like casually dating.
Yeah, and then she got pregnant.
Was this before or after Pete? Or not Pete.
After Roger dies.
Roger dies.
I want to say it's probably before. I think Roger dies and then like shit hits the fan with the bikers.
Like right away?
Mm.
I don't know why I didn't write that down.
That's okay.
But so anyway, they have this romantic dinner. Steve proposes to Fran. She says no, that it's like not the right time. Well, there's like a fountain going in the background and it made me want to pee so bad. It's like just trickling water.
Yeah.
They're having a romantic dinner.
Yeah.
It's at one of the restaurants.
Man. What would be the right time? What would be the right time during a zombie apocalypse to be proposed to?
I don't know. But then the next scene is them like sitting in bed together and they both look so miserable. Like they both look like they've hated each other their whole lives. I don't know why.
Well, that's marriage for you. No, just kidding. I love you, Mike.
Mike immediately unplugs you. And that's just me talking to myself for another half hour. Okay, so then I don't know if you thought it was like petty as fuck when the TV is on static and Steve's like, leave it on. There's, you know, what if something comes back on? Because at that point, the two guys were done fighting. And Fran gets up and turns it off. And then she sits back down at the dinner table. And Steve gets up and he turns it back on.
Like, oh, my God.
For real. Like, this is
what it is. They have nothing better to do.
And then you know? This is when she wants to learn how to fly the helicopter.
Yeah.
Which makes total sense that one of them, other than Steve, should learn how to fly it.
Yeah. Because what if something awful happens to Steve?
What if?
Because it does. It does.
His makeup was really good, too.
He played the best zombie.
I liked him better as a zombie.
I did, too.
Than as a living human being. Mainly because he's been in there how long and he's still a horrible shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, she's learning how to fly the helicopter. So they're, like, flying it around a little bit. And that's when this, like, traveling biker gang sees them from a ways away and finds out that they're at the mall.
Yeah, and they do bring this up, too, saying, like, well, we can't stay here forever. Like, somebody is going to see the helicopter.
Yeah.
They touch on that, I think, a couple times.
Well, they probably, the biker gang wouldn't have showed up if the helicopter was just sitting on top of the mall.
Yeah. Well, but I
they
think
saw them actually flying it.
Oh, yeah.
So that they knew that someone was living there.
What and a bunch of assholes. I feel like that they would have looted it anyway, though. Like, they would have gone and, like, stolen a bunch of shit anyway.
They're an actual motorcycle gang.
What?
Yeah. They weren't actors. I mean, there's some actors mixed in.
Oh, my God.
But it was an actual biker gang. I think they were called, like, I didn't write it down, and I should have. Like, they're the Pagans. And they all drove their actual motorcycles. And I guess it was, like, crazy with the motorcycles, like, driving around the mall. Like, it was super loud and, like,
of course it would be.
Fun. Yeah.
My God. If you guys could see my face right now.
Wow. Of driving around the mall. So the mall, they filmed it over 4 months. And they ended up shutting down for a little break over Christmas because taking down the Christmas decorations every night.
Oh, yeah. That would be a pain. Yeah.
It was a pain because the mall was open this whole time. So they filmed at night. Well, in the mall, there was a bar that must have had, like, outside access. So people would, the zombies would have to come and get their makeup done at 7.
Can you imagine, like, going up to the bar and seeing all these zombies?
So the zombies would go and they would drink, like, before filming. And
it's not like they had to do anything, though.
Drunk zombies stole a golf cart and crashed it into a pillar in the mall, and it was $7,000 worth of damage. I know. So that, well, driving around the mall reminded me of that.
I love all of these.
That fun fact. But yeah, they, so the biker gang breaks in. They're hiding because at this point they'd had like the fake wall. Nobody knew they were there. The zombies didn't know they were there either because the zombies would still kind of follow you. Like, there was some, like, a little bit of consciousness.
Yeah.
They weren't just completely, like, zoned out. So when they'd climb up a rope ladder because the stairway was hidden to where they lived. And then they'd, like, put the ceiling tile back in. And yep. It just looked like a dead-end hallway.
Yeah.
But it really, like, led to the stairway to where they lived.
Which makes me wonder why they didn't close the doors behind the fake wall. The doors are open.
I think because they climbed up the ladder and then into there and then would use the stairs.
Okay.
Either way, though. Yeah, so they're hiding. Like, they hide from the bikers. Which,
what? A lot of good that does because Steve is stupid.
Steve is so stupid because he gets super pissed that they're, like, taking his stuff.
Like,
Let them do whatever the hell they want.
They don't know they're there. Just,
like, hide.
Right.
Wait for everything. But what does he do? This one guy that's a horrible shot decides that he's going to, like, reveal himself and start shooting at them.
And take on the biker gang that has, like, 30 people in it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
While they're stealing pies and throwing them at the zombies.
Right. I mean, whatever, I guess. I do want to make a comment, though, because when shit hits the fan more so than it already is, like with the biker gang and Steve being all willy-nilly, there's a guy that puts his arm in a blood pressure.
That was spur of the moment.
Why did he do that if there were zombies around?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that was like an added bonus because throughout this whole thing, they're like inventing new kills the whole time they're filming.
Oh, that's fun.
So Savini and Romero were like, this would be cool. Okay. So then that's why they're just a random guy.
But he literally like he goes and he's being swarmed by zombies and he puts his arm in the blood pressure cuff. And then he just gets torn apart.
Because they wanted somebody to get torn apart, I guess.
Okay. They do, too.
Was that the guy that gets his stomach ripped open? Like, there classic
were,
kill?
There were two of them that get their stomach ripped open.
Yeah. Those were cow guts.
Ugh.
I think it was cow guts.
That was rough.
Yeah. But, I mean,
even though
how many zombie movies has that been in?
Every one.
Yeah. Their tummy was ripped open and guts pulled
this
out.
This was definitely the least bloody one that I've ever seen.
There's not blood like just spurting randomly. No. Yeah.
It was pretty well done, I thought.
I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I read somewhere that the guy that did the spurting blood quit like halfway through.
Oh.
So maybe that's why there's not as much spurting blood.
Okay.
And the blood is food coloring, peanut butter, and corn syrup.
Gross. What a combo.
Yeah. And Savini still talks about how he didn't like the color because it looked so neon red.
Yeah.
But George Romero liked it because it was comic book-ish.
Yeah.
And the zombies are supposed to be gray, but when they filmed it, they turned out more like a green-blue.
I noticed that.
Which was still good.
Yeah. It didn't, like, take away from it or anything.
And Greg thought that that was cool because they were, like, fresh zombies. Like, from watching Walking Dead, you know, they...
They slowly decompose.
Yeah.
And get grayer.
So they get, like, grosser and grosser. And every season, the zombies are, like, more decomposed and gnarly looking. But season one and two, they were still very much like people.
Yeah.
So there's, like, fresh zombies are probably not as gross looking.
Yeah. So Steve is shooting wildly. He ends up getting cornered in an elevator.
Yeah. Well, he gets cornered in the elevator after he gets shot in the arm.
Okay.
So the gang is on to him. Meanwhile, the gang is like hooting and hollering, just trashing the place.
Yeah.
Throwing mannequins over the railing, just like having a good old time. Typical bikers looting something in a movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a movie.
Typical biker fashion. No. Not at all. Like, how they are in films.
Yeah. Big time.
Big time.
And so then zombies, like, Pete is right ahead of Steve, and Pete is, like, climbing up through the elevator shaft to, like, get into the air duct to go check on Fran or to escape.
Yeah.
And Steve gets attacked by zombies.
Yeah.
Horribly.
He's shot in the arm, so he can't lift himself onto the roof of the elevator to get in the shaft. So, yeah.
And it makes me sad that Pete didn't turn around and get him, but, like, I think Pete knew that he was probably going to die anyway. Like, I don't know.
He just left him on purpose?
I don't think he left him on purpose because you could really tell that he was struggling with leaving. Like,
yeah, I suppose.
I thought, anyway.
So he's in the elevator and he can't lift himself up.
Yep.
Why doesn't he shut the elevator door?
He tries to. He tries to shut the door, and zombies keep, like,
opening it.
Yeah, it's pretty tragic.
And I think it's kind of weird how the zombies are biting him all over and, like, kind of ripping him up, and then blood comes out of his mouth. Why? Maybe he bit his tongue.
Maybe he bit his tongue. We'll just say that.
But when the elevator store, when you see Steve again, he's like a great looking zombie.
He's the best looking zombie out of the entire thing, I think.
Well, I thought, what's his name made a good zombie too?
Roger. Yeah.
Roger, whose name I can't remember.
Roger,
I thought they did a good job on.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Steve's ankle is like busted and he's just like dripping and he's shambling. He's a shambling zombie.
Yeah.
And he, from his memory, remembers where the fake wall is.
Where the fake wall is. So he starts paying attention to it. So it draws all the other zombies. At this point, the bikers had, like, fled.
The bikers had fled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they did, like, take out enough of them. They actually, Tom Savini gets pushed over the railing at the mall, which he did that stunt himself.
Look at him. He's great.
Yeah, and he, in a practice run, he missed the boxes and hurt his back really bad. He, like, half landed on the boxes, half landed on the ground.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What a champ.
Yep.
And he's just like, yeah, let's do it again.
I guess. So, yeah, Steve leads him to the fake wall. All the zombies break it down. And then all of a sudden the zombies can, like, climb stairs and climb ladders and
I mean, we'll just go with it.
So that's Fran bolts. It kind of looked like Peter was gonna off himself. He's like, I'll stay behind
to, like, distract him while you go.
Yeah. And then did you notice that it was like a change of heart, like sports music playing, like to pump you up, because he's like, I'm coming too.
It was like Eye of the Tiger.
It was.
I might as well have been watching Rocky.
So then he, like, fights through all the zombies, like, right as she's taking off and, like, jumps in there with her.
Yeah, and she spots him, and it's great, and then they escape.
Yeah, they fly away. I was kind of wondering if they just circled the roof, if the zombies would just fall off trying to get them.
Maybe.
I mean, that's what happens in Zombieland, too.
We've seen a lot of the zombie things.
I know. I like them.
Like all of them. Yeah.
I haven't seen all of them.
I really enjoyed this.
I did too.
And I'm glad that you picked it because I probably wouldn't have thought about seeing the original like ever.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. And I do know why, because the remake to me holds. It was my very first zombie film that I ever watched.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
In 2004, I was like a junior in high school.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I still remember, I saw it with one of my friends. And I remember sitting in the theater. Okay. It was an ex-boyfriend. Saw it with an ex-boyfriend. And I had seen a lot of gory
stuff before.
Whatever. And that opening scene in the 2004 remake, he turned and looked at me and his face was white. And he was like, I don't think we should stay for the rest of it. And I was just like, no.
When you were a junior in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't have watched anything.
He wouldn't have watched anything like that. But yeah, face white, because it was when the girl like rips the guy's neck open.
That's in the first like
5 minutes.
5 minutes, mm-hmm. Maybe.
And I was like, well, nope, we're staying. So good.
Just pull your shirt up over your face. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. But yeah, this was a good pick. I really liked it. And like I said earlier, we should probably do the remake at some point. I don't know when.
For sure. We should have done them back to back.
Oh, my God. Well, I've seen it enough. I could probably whip up some notes and we could have it out next week.
We just wing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
But all right.
I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one of my favorite and there's just so much cool information and I don't know. I had a lot of fun researching it.
Yeah, I bet. Because obviously, like, there's a ton of shit. So,
which I did today. Really cool. I'm like just skimming through one last time to see if I missed anything. Oh, the gun shop was not actually in the mall. That was shot somewhere else.
Okay.
I think that was shot somewhere.
That was shot. But bump.
You were going to do three bumps, weren't you?
I was. Greg corrected me one time because I would go like, but bump.
Which is wrong.
Which is wrong.
I never noticed that you even did that.
Yeah. Well, he did. So.
Did you just ruin it? Ruin your life.
Ruined it. But anywho, I think that's it for Dawn of the Dead, 1978. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Have a nice night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.